RE/MAX Concepts not only understands the real estate market, their highly skilled professionals are always on duty to ensure your home buying or selling experience is positive. The professionals at RE/MAX Concepts offer you ways to beat other home buyers into the home of your dreams through the Home Finder system. Get to what is hot now. Don't wait. Learn more at realestateconcepts.net. Realestateconcepts.net for home buying and selling. Finally, a group of localized business magazines focused on small to mid-sized businesses and mailed free of charge each month to West Des Moines, Waukee, Urbandale, Grimes, and Johnston. Each issue of the Business Journal is packed with useful information from legal advice, human resources, to tax tips. Information that is topical and relevant. In addition, the Business Journals are a great way to reach business leaders to market your products or services. Learn more at iowabusinessjournal.com. The Business Journal, helping business grow. Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Aureon, Human Resources and More for businesses and nonprofits. AUREON.com. RE/MAX Concepts, real estate professionals with offices in the Des Moines Metro, Nevada, and Cedar Rapids. RealestateConcepts.net.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. This is Marketing for Business, episode 16. And here we are with Phil K. James from Good Milkshake Digital. Philip, we are in the East Village, Bubba. What's happening?
We are rocking out today.
We are rocking out. Tacopocalypse.
Highlight of my week, as always.
You are too kind, too kind. So last week, we spent some time talking about re-energized porta-potties and social media, and that was fantastic. It really was. Got a lot of hits, too.
It did, yeah. And I think was... It's impressive about these types of industries is that everybody can you know, you can always talk about kind of a sexy restaurant, and it's gonna get a lot of attention,
right?
But like
you talk about when human elimination,
when you can talk about, you know, doing your business,
right?
Interesting. That to me is like it's
universal.
You
know, not all of us can go to fancy restaurants. Not all of us can indulge. Well, I guess we could all indulge in tacos at Tacopocalypse,
right?
but you gotta go, man. You gotta go.
Hey, I'm
There's no way around
it. It's universal. All right, we are with Sam Owen, ladies and gentlemen. This guy is amazing. He has been in this biz for a long time. Was a chef at many restaurants. Reached out on his own. Loved by the bicycle community. I know for a fact, Sam, that you were one of these crazy people that rode your bicycle even in the dead of winter, back and forth from where? Cumming?
That's true. Yeah.
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 To Des Moines?
Yeah. We were talking about that last night at our taco event in Cumming, that somebody was asking, so what month do you guys start coming out here? And it's kind of a funny question, because when it began 8 years ago, there was no what month do we start coming out here. We just did it all the time.
You were just always there.
Yeah. I've got some pretty fun pictures of me. That's back when I used to pull everything on a trailer on my bike as well.
Right.
And just great pictures of me frosted over beard with a trailer with a, you know, hot box in the back. Like, well, hey, where are you guys at? I made it.
This was such a big story. I mean, I remember the Des Moines Register did an article on you. And people, we sent that all over the place. And people were going, this guy, really? You got to be kidding me.
That was...
One night, you know, Sam and I used to work together at Cafe de Scala.
Right.
And actually where we first met, I think we knew each other before that a little bit, but Sam, one night it was seriously, there the entire night was dead. Like no customers, maybe like five customers a whole night. Sam was at Cafe de Scala. Sam decided he was gonna, like, I'm just gonna go home now, guys. Like we were just hanging out at night. I'm like, okay, are you taking a cab or what? No, he had the whole rig, and you rode all the way back. At that time, you were living in like Cumming, right?
Yeah, just outside Cumming in Orilla.
So was that, like, how long is that? 18 miles? 19 miles?
I think it's 13 or 14
from downtown. Yeah, that's incredible. Like, but I remember like the whole thing was live tweeted. That was a big deal because you were live tweeting the whole thing.
That's right, because there was a storm going on.
Yep.
Yeah, and that, you know what? I remember that now. That storm I felt myself, in when I was riding through Waterworks, I felt myself get kind of swept up off the ground a little bit and then set down, and that's when I started live tweeting.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, man.
I could die now?
This I'm definitely going to die now. So yeah. At least I'll leave a trail of breadcrumbs so somebody will be able to find me when this is all over.
Right. Well, Sam, it's been a long journey from there to where you're at now.
It has, yeah.
And you keep reintroducing things. What's going on? Why?
I don't know. I have a problem.
Yeah, right. Well, no. I mean, and you really connect. I mean, we are in your place here in the East Village, which is loud and bawdy, and folks having a good time. Is that Sam Owen?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say I'm kind of loud and bawdy, and I like to have a good time. So that's kind of an extension of myself.
You?
Yeah. Krunkwich is the same way. In fact, I even had the same exact stereo system as Krunkwich in my master bathroom, just because we had extra stuff. I'm not really trying to be bougie. But, like, I listen to the Krunkwich playlists when I'm getting ready in the morning, and it's kind of fun. It's like pretending you're at work.
Now, this whole rock and roll thing obviously started because you're a guitar player and a very
right.
accomplished one. You played in a lot of bands, anything from punk to grindcore to metal to acoustic.
Oh, yeah.
All sorts of, like...
Yeah, like
know, right?
free jazz stuff, all kinds
of... When did you start playing music?
I started playing music when I was 4 years old.
But guitar?
Piano when I was four, and then moved on to saxophone, and then pretty much every other band instrument. I got my first guitar when I was 10.
When's the first time you stepped foot in a kitchen professionally?
I was...
Like, to actually cook.
16, I believe, yeah.
Now, is this a Korean place in Denison?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yep, egg rolls, et cetera.
Yeah?
Yep. I've worked for my the lovely boss. She's an amazing person, Myung Van Tyker.
Is she still around?
She is still around. She still lives in Denison.
She still cooks?
She's like retired, but she does a lot of cooking for potlucks and for her church and when... just people in need. She's like the biggest heart. She's an amazing person to learn from.
Mm. Now, yeah. we talk about a lot on the show is garnering attention. And the reason I brought her up is because it's such a big part of your story. The music, starting off to the music, to the army, to, you know, doing all the things that you did in between.
Right, right.
And, you know, actually cooking and learning professionally, becoming a veg, you know, basically a vegetable chef.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The like good old veg chef Des Moines days.
Yeah. But the point is that all that's a part of your story, right? So, like, tell us, I guess, what is it about your story that keeps people coming back? How is it that you've been able... Let's start this over. How have you been able to reinvent yourself over and over? And because you have a very good sense of like being able to tell your own story is what I'm trying to say. So
right, generally I do. I think the ability to kind of reinvent things or reinvent myself, reintroduce things, comes from it's like a natural timing. I didn't realize I had it until it worked a couple times, and I was like, oh, that's a thing. Weird. But, you know, as you said, I've lived almost like 8 or 9 different lives like a cat. I've had to, you know, from the military and from working in like chain restaurants and also, you know, working at just all the things I've done in life. It's been, I don't know, it's kind of like the show Sliders a little bit, you know, kind of like sliding in and out of different realities that I've created myself. It's never like a big surprise or anything, but it's like, oh, this is what we're doing now. That goes with the story of Krunkwich. You know, I was asked this the other day, like, how'd you come up with that name? How'd you come up with that concept? And it was the story, which I'll spare you the long version, but it was seriously one of those, woke up one morning, I was like, ha, 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 wouldn't it be funny if? And I think that's kind of how everybody has that. Wouldn't it be funny if we did this? And I know that you've had those thoughts and you've made them happen. You've had those thoughts and made them happen. But I kind of like, once I figured out I could make that happen.
But the difference between you and anybody else is when somebody else says, ha, 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 that's funny, wouldn't that be great, is that Michael and I don't start restaurants. You do.
Well, I do take things to a different level. Yeah. I get kind of severe with my bad ideas.
Sam, let me ask this. Are you creating the change, or is change creating what you're doing?
It's a lot of it is rolling with what's going on.
So you have to know.
Yeah. You have to get a good feel, and it's a lot about, you know, paying attention. It's two contrasting things. It's paying attention to what's going on around you, especially in your industry. It's also having the faith to just kind of ignore most of that and do what you know you want to do. You know, there's a lot of people out there that say, like, hey, I'm going to open a taco place. And they're like, oh, I got to figure out how to do this. Usually when I do things, it's an extension of what it's already been developed somewhere inside me. And it's just a case of doing it, not finding someone who can figure it out for me, which is the case in a lot of businesses. Like, I find it rare that the actual entrepreneur or the money backing things, that person is the actual idea person, and it all comes in fruition and works out in a successful way. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Am I wrong about that?
No.
I don't think you're wrong about that, but at the same time, you seem to always be on the cusp of something that nobody else is got yet. And I think that's part of your persona. You know, not only are you a talented individual who served his country and you know, bikes hundreds of miles every year, but you're really apparently attuned to what consumers want and maybe what they'll need. And that question then comes back to, so are you meeting their demand, or are you creating the demand? And maybe it's a little bit of both.
It's a little bit of both, but I think I'm more creating than meeting.
Yeah.
You know, meeting the demand's easy. I know what people want. They want a ground beef taco in the case of Taco Apocalypse. And, you know, we did that as a special twice just to show people that's not what they really wanted. And I was right. They didn't. They're like, yeah, this is really good, but, I mean, we would rather get, like, your actual food because you can get this anywhere. I'm like, yeah. Just, you know, we want you to have a good experience, but also to experience it from our point of view, you know?
So you're driving the change. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. One of the reasons we call this marketing for business is because so many people out there that are in business or they're managing the marketing side of whatever it is they're doing seem to be in a path that they think is correct, and oftentimes aren't paying attention to what's going on the periphery. They're just kind of focused here. I have a sense, and it comes back to that same question, that when you build and you market and you create, that you're really out there on the periphery driving that change to you.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that. You know, I pay attention a lot to other areas of the country and other countries. Food as it pertains to what I want to do and what I want to eat, and their social media. And, you know, it's one of the best ways to, man, I don't know really where I'm going with this. It's kind of the same way, like, if I don't know how to make something, you know, I look at, like, 25 different ways of doing it and then just, like, trash all those and, like, okay, I know how people think it's supposed to work, how can I make it work? It's kind of the same way with following along with what's going on in the world. You know, just like, okay, that looks cool. Well, I've never heard of that before. I kind of get to the point where not heard of that before isn't really in the vernacular, but thanks to the internet and just experimenting. But yeah, it's combining all these things. Yeah. Like, okay, this is what I want. Now, how do we get it to people? And will people want this?
Now, more on that. We work with a lot of entrepreneurs. We talk with a lot of entrepreneurs, Michael especially, but me in the restaurant space. But you obviously are an idea guy. You're constantly coming up with ideas for this and that. You talked to me a couple years ago about the idea for, you know, for creating, you know, the vegetarian type of thing.
Yeah.
Is that happening, by the way? Is that
that's still on the table? I let it cool off this spring just so we could concentrate on you know, gearing up for the busy
season.
Tell
people about that.
So vegetarian, it actually is a concept that predates even Tacopocalypse. And it's something I've wanted to do for very, very long time. It's a full-on plant-based diner. I've given a little press here and there, teasing it through the years, but we came close this spring to having a location, and it just became more of a, you know what, we need to concentrate on what's going on right now. It's hard for me to do that. I have a problem with linear thought and linear action. So I'm always, like, shotgun spreading everything. But it was one of those times I did, like, self, it's time to listen to yourself. You need to concentrate on what's going on and just park this for a second. So at the end of the summer, our goal is
how do you do that? How do you park those thoughts? Because you're constantly doing it with music, too.
Oh,
like
yeah.
You're always experimenting with new music.
Yeah, I have
and
way
obviously,
too many things
obviously
going on.
The food and the music sort of go together a lot, and the biking... You're always experimenting with new gear and new rides and things like that. So, like, how do you keep those
for magazines? Whatnot.
Right, you're a writer.
Yeah.
So, how do you keep those feelings, those thoughts at bay?
It's usually distraction. So I'm like, okay, I need to like not get too obsessed about this. So what else? Where can I put that energy? Like, do I need to work on a new music project? Do I need to? But it's hard, you know. It's like being a kid in your 40s. Like, how do you sit in your hands and keep yourself from going nuts? Vegetarian is near and dear to my heart. We have a lot of really great options in Des Moines in the years I've lived here that have sprouted up for vegan and vegetarian eating. I've done my best so far to be a part of that and try to drive that as well. But we don't have a completely plant-based diner place. So basically, it's very self-serving. One of the ways that, and you know, if this was a new project I just came up with, it would be harder to backburner. But it's been backburnered so many times, so it's kind of like, okay, I'm not gonna deep breath. I'm not gonna get too crazy about this. You know, I just need to set it down. And part of that also is having a pickup date. So instead of just, you know, like, this is never going to happen. Crust Punk's Pizza doesn't have a pickup date, but that was a concept that we had a location for, whatnot. I backed out of it. It's still on the table. There's still a whole file of all the stuff, but it's not something I'm real passionate about. That's just one of those periphery ideas, like, dude, it'd be cool, that we didn't do it'd be cool about. Vegetarian, on the other hand, I want it. I want it so bad.
Do you feel...
I feel the need as well.
Well, that's so one of the things, you know, as we move forward with this, you know, Meatless Mondays, and people are talking about this, and we see individuals, especially celebrities, that are saying, hey, I'm vegan, you know, I'm out of this stuff. Are you waiting for mass appeal? Are the numbers there, you think?
The numbers are there.
Specifically here? Yeah.
Yeah, the numbers are there. They have been for a long time. We just even looking at our own sales mix for vegan stuff versus meat, you know, I think the vegetarian percentage of the actual population in the U.S. is like in the single digits, possibly low double digits, like 12% or 14%. I haven't looked in a while, but it's low.
Where do vegetarians go for food in Des Moines?
Well, my places. Obviously, we cater to that, but you've got...
like A-Dong and that sort of thing.
A-Dong's a huge thing. A-Dong, Thai Flavors. You've got Ritual Cafe is no meat. They do some dairy and egg. But yeah, those ladies are freaking phenomenal, and they've been doing it for forever, really. How long has that place been around? Like 14 years now?
Yeah, 14, yeah.
Yeah. I used to make their quiches back in the day.
Oh.
Yeah, I worked next door.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, most places have a great... Gastro Grub in Clive, their brick-and-mortar location, they have a very well-marked menu with vegan options that are fantastic. And it's 16 miles from my house, So it's like, I'll ride my bike out there. They're right on the bike trail. Get myself some of their vegan grub and chat with Sean, their chef owner, and then ride back up. So it's like a nice 32-mile day with some good food. But most restaurants really have a decent offering. You know, Zombie Burger. Well, all of George Famaro's restaurants have some vegan and vegetarian options.
You used to work for George.
I did.
And can you talk about, all of the other people that you worked with and sort of the, I know this is kind of a right turn here from that, but like, what I'm curious is, you've obviously have a lot of influences and a lot of heroes in this town. Who in the food space is probably your number one, number two, number three? You can name as many people as you want without leaving them out. You're not really going to insult people.
Right.
But who are your heroes in food in general? It doesn't have to be Des Moines.
That's a fantastic question. I'd say my number one hero is probably George Famaro. He showed me that it's okay to use your obsession for food to just run with it. Also, he's like one of the greatest dudes. He's real he's a total dad, like in a good way. Just a real genuine, I love you, George.
And you know, there's something about George too that, like you, I should say, he's not afraid to work the line. I see him all the time, sweating, working hard,
yep,
making sure that. And then he's this great chef and restaurateur that is just a regular guy at the same time.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's super approachable. I'm a bit of a, I don't know, a wing nut, I guess. I know Phil's witnessed some wing nuttery from me in the past. So is the internet.
No.
Maybe even today I might have gotten a little, George kind of showed me in doing events with him, like how to address the questions that we get from people on the street in a more constructive manner than a WTF. ! What did you just say to me kind of moment. Yeah. In the same right, you know, his partner in crime, Paul, as well, when Crunkwich opened and we failed a little bit on that first day and I had to close back down for another week and a half, Paul and George both got a hold of me and they're like, hey, remember, this is what we did with Zombie Burger.
Yeah.
They opened up and they're like, wow, we did not see that coming. And they had to close down for another week or two to get it together. And, you know, they were right there with me saying, hey, it's okay. Like, you can do this. You got this. Obviously, there's a line down the street to get into this place. A few people weren't happy. You can do it. It's no problem. George and Paul. Tony Lemo is definitely on the list. Phil, you pretty much grew up with Tony, right?
Tony and I have known each other for about 20 years, just a little after college when we started.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Right.
Actually, during college we were friends and then became roommates. But.
Right, yeah, Tony is what he's done. You know, when I started off just kind of knowing Tony from like having drinks with him. And then he's like, hey, you want to come work at my restaurant? And that was when Cafe de Scala first, right. Now Aposto, first started. And I was like, yeah, sure, that sounds great. So, yeah, it was a wild bunch of years there. Not just there, but right. In and out. I was there and then off in other places and then back. But Tony showed me that, first he showed me what I like to call the Italian way. Which is a whole other thing we're not going to talk about. Let's just leave
Sam
it
Sam Allen, ladies and gentlemen, is who we're talking with. We're talking about food, Des Moines, approachable food at the same time. We're not talking about stuff that you get and pay $40 a plate for, $50, $60 a plate for. This is approachable food. And not only standard fare, but I think it was really interesting what you said. Yeah, we can do ground beef tacos, but we ain't going to do that because you can get them anywhere.
Yeah. That's what everybody has that.
Right, right. Sam Allen, ladies and gentlemen, Tacopocalypse and also Crunkwich. Final question before we got to go and throw this up on the internets. What's next? What do you think? What are we missing in Des Moines other than a vegan restaurant?
Right.
What are we missing in Des Moines that you think might be on the cusp without too many trade secrets going out there? What are we missing as far as Epicurean delights here?
Oh, man. Well, if you take the vegan restaurant out of the equation, I don't even know if I can put a good answer to that question. We have a lot of things covered here.
Well, I think, not to stump the star here, but I think what you just said is paramountly important for people to understand. This community has come a hell of a long way in 10 or 15 years, and you want to eat something, we got it.
Yeah, we've got nearly everything covered. I would really like to take our dim sum that we were doing at Crunkwich and open that as a small standalone concept. And also Los Bandidos Hot Dog Speakeasy, which is our pop-up we do weekly on Fridays and Saturdays at Crunkwich. I think that maybe we find... I cried when our two hot dog places closed. The only reason we did that place is because I watched two fantastic hot dog places go down in flames, and was like, no, I still want that. We're going to do this part-time. So
hot
I would love to...
And what else?
Hot Shots, and then was it Capital Dog?
Dogger, yeah.
Yeah. And so I would like to take what I'm doing, like my side projects, and maybe branch them out off on their own, like give the kids their own first starter house, you know, and let them go. But as far as, like, what do we need in Des Moines, man, we've got a lot covered.
Yeah.
We got a lot covered. We need a vegan restaurant.
There it is.
Thanks so much, Sam. We appreciate you talking
to
us. Good stuff.
Phil?
Always a pleasure, Michael. And thank you, Sam. It's, you know, where can people find you if they haven't already heard about you, which is unbelievable. But, you know, we do have a couple people that are sort of Midwestern-based, other parts of the country that listen in. Where would they find you if they needed you?
Well, we're at 407 East 5th Street in Des Moines in the East Village. And we're at, that's Tacopocalypse. And Crunkwich is at 2721 Ingersoll, just west of downtown Des Moines, about 2 miles from where we're sitting right now.
And we will have links on the radio blog to those and more. Sam, thanks for taking some time
and being
so honest with us, which is the only way Sam Owen ever is.
I try.
Thanks.